We've been preaching through this whole chapter, verse by verse, and we have discovered that Paul is saying that just because you have privileges, just because you have grace, just because God's done some wonderful things for you, that does not exempt you from chastisement from God. And it reminds you by going back to the Old Testament and showing that all of these things that happened unto them were written for you. There are ceremonial changes in the law, but God's clear. You learn something about Him by reading the Old Testament. Such things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And just as they cried in Jeremiah 7, what do you mean I'm going to be punished? I can't be punished. We have the temple of God. The temple of God. We have the privileges. We are Israel. And God led them into captivity. And so Paul goes through time after time of giving you examples of how God deals with sin in your life. When you will not repent, He is a God of judgment. Praise God for His mercy. Praise God He's merciful. But don't presume on His mercy. We call this the forgotten side of God. This age does not want to hear anything about responsibility. It doesn't want to hear anything about the terror of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't want to hear anything about what's coming for believers. Hey, the Bible said judgment begins at the house of God. If it begins at us, what shall be the end of the sinner? The lost sinner. All right, that's bringing you up to date of what we've covered. I want to bring you down to verse 13. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." But don't miss verse 14. "Wherefore," "because of all of this, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." God, be with the preaching of Thy holy word. Be with all that we do today, Lord. Father, we pray that we'll be edified, that Your Holy Ghost will be in it all. In the name of Jesus, amen. I've already preached a little bit on this verse in previous sermons on this chapter. And one thing we stressed was, and I need you to really listen, your situation is no different. Basically, from thousands of others that are in the earth today and that have gone before you. And if you really want to paralyze yourself, if you want to paralyze yourself, start thinking that your situation is different. That you can't live like all of the other Christians have lived. You can't live like all the people of God have lived in the Old Testament, the wonderful witnesses that God gives us. You can't live like all of these others because your situation is different. I assure you one thing, with that type of teaching, you will not escape temptation. You will not be able to endure it. And you will fall. And you will continue to fall. And you will live a defeated, shipwrecked Christian life. If you want to have power over sin that the Holy Ghost wants to give you through the blood of Jesus, if you want to have the power that sin has no dominion over you as God has promised, if you want to live an overcoming Christian life, you must start right now and say, "I'm going to confess right now. We're going to get this thing straight. I am no different. My situation is not special. God expects me, by His power, to deal with this thing without falling, without sin." Are you listening? I've seen parents curse their children. "Oh, I tell you what, he's a special child. He's special. Hey, how come your child can't sit still?" "Well, he's special. He's always been. You know, there's been a lot of boys, but this boy is something special. He came out like that. And he's just got so much energy." "She's a special girl." "Oh, she is. She's special." Yeah, that's a good way to give your child a psychological problem. That's a good way to send them through every single mental health place on the face of the earth. That's a good way to have them unstable all over the place. Just tell them they're not responsible and preach to them from the time they're young, you're different. You're not expected to have to live right. I tell you what, that's what's messing up our churches. People walking around, I found out I have a disorder. Is that right? God calls it sin. No, I have a special disorder. Do you understand my point, folks? Hey, you have no excuse. I have no excuse. But the devil will sure give you a lot of them. And they'll sound pretty good. I better move on. Let me just show you right here. James chapter 5. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. See, you have this idea that these prophets didn't go through any temptation or feel any temptation whatsoever. No, he was subject to like passions as we are. He had the same emotional problems or feelings, put it that way. He had the same temptations and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He got something done for God. Amen? He got something done for God. Temptation is normal. God has His reasons for allowing it in your life. You must not say, as James teaches us, that God has tempted you in such a way as to mean God wants you to fall. Does God ever come and allow you to be tempted and He's over here voting and hoping you'll fall? That's not the point. God wants you to endure the temptation. God wants you to bear it, to be able to resist it. And God's not against you. God's not unfaithful. You must not arrange the whole thing in your mind so that you see God as unfaithful. See, I've seen people go off into homosexuality, and I've seen them say, well, you know what? God made me this way. Who are they blaming for their sin? God. All kinds of people say, well, God just made me this way. It's God's fault. So you're basically saying God's not faithful then. You're saying God's unjust. There's something wrong with God. See, they say, well, if God gave me these feelings, He knows that I'm not strong enough to endure, so therefore it's God's fault, and I don't think that God will judge me if He's the one that gave me these feelings. Do you see how people think? He made me this way, I can't change. Do you see how they think? Let's read the verse again. There is no temptation taking you but as such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Hey, what about God's power? You say, well, I'm weak. I know we're not talking about you. What about God's power? You say, but I can't do it. I've tried. Well, I know you can't. You're a sinner. You're just like me. But I'm talking about God's power. Are you telling me God doesn't have the power? God who raised the dead? God who called forth Lazarus? God that can make ankles come back together straight? I tell you, you're talking to me that God that can make paralyzed men walk? That can raise the dead? You're telling me that God can't give you the strength to overcome sin? He can give David strength to overcome Goliath, but He can't give you strength to overcome sin, overcome an addiction, overcome a problem? Hey, God's faithful, amen? When God commands something, He doesn't leave you without hope, does He? Now, the devil came to Eve to try to convince her that God's bad. God's holding out. God's not good. God doesn't love you. God has arranged this whole thing and He's holding back. He just wants you to have a horrible life. Hey, Eve bought that lie. And Christians have been buying it down through the ages to one degree or another. What does God say? He's faithful, and look what He says. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You say, but what I'm going through right now, this temptation, it's so hard. I know, but you're able to bear it. You know, you say, no, you don't understand. You're able to bear it. You're able to resist it. God wouldn't put it on you if you're not able to resist it. How can you say that? I can say it because it's in the Bible. Well, my psychologist told me, I don't care what your psychologist said. I'm reading the Word of God. It's inspired. Need to stay away from the witch doctors. We need to get back to old-fashioned Bible. Amen? That's what's messing up this world, is everybody's listening to everybody else but God. God said you're able to do it. You're able to overcome. You're able through Him. I tell you what, we need to be like Joshua and Caleb that said, hey, we're well able. We're well able. We're well able. They're bred for us. Were they boasting in their own strength? No, they said, we got a good God. He's faithful. Whatever He puts before me, we can overcome by God. Amen. Then God says, He gives you a way of escape. The escape is so you can bear it. But I need you to understand something here. Bearing a temptation does not mean that you settle down and just accept your sin. It does not mean that you say, I'm in great sin. There's nothing I can do. I will just have to bear it. That's what a lot of folks are doing. They're discouraged and they're coping with their sin. That's not what he means. Oh, I'm bearing it. I'm bearing the cross. No, bearing the cross doesn't mean that you stay in your sin and mope around and say, I'm just enduring it every day, you know. I'm just a sinner. Say, what about Romans 7? People need to read Romans 7 correctly. He's not talking about walking after the flesh. He's talking about inside. You cannot escape the temptation to sin. Every good thing you do, you're going to have a voice inside of you trying to oppose you. And it's going to be in your body until Jesus comes. Amen? But I tell you what, you don't have to walk after it. You don't have to walk after the flesh, do you? The flesh is going to be there with all its deceitful. You don't have to walk after it. Not with the power of Jesus. You can grow and grow and grow and get better and better and better. Amen? So a lot of people say, well, you know, I have to bear it. With the temptation, He'll make a way to escape that I might be able to bear it, and I've been bearing it. That's what they said in Jeremiah 18. They said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Is that what God wants? That's called sinful discouragement. You know, God killed a lot of people for discouragement. That's right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go back to the Old Testament and read the proof text there. Companion text. When you walk around with God and you say, God's not able. I tell you what, they were pretty discouraged when they went to enter the promised land. They said, we're just not able. The giants are too big. That's discouragement, isn't it? You need to believe in God. Does anybody here believe in God? The Bible said, you know what faith is? Faith is God is. Do you believe God is? Amen. He's a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek Him. Amen. So, to bear it means that you overcome the temptation by not giving in. Do you see what God's saying? He said, I'm being tried. I'm sure you are being tried. Every believer is going to be tried. The Bible said, don't think it's some strange thing that's happening, do you? You have a devil, you got the world, you got your own flesh, and then you got God's purposes. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. And when you exercise, it makes you stronger. But you have to overcome. God's not going to put nothing on you unless He knows you're ready to deal with it. And He doesn't expect you to fall down under it and whine. He expects you to overcome it and say, okay, by the power of God, I've got through that temptation. I want to reveal to you right now, or at least remind you, exactly how God often sends a way of escape. God has a specific way. I call it in the message here, the way of escape. That's what He says in the book. He says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Does God control all things? Did anything happen to Job without going through God? No, it didn't. Is Satan so powerful that he can just get through God? No, he had to go to God. Can I go tempt Job? God gave him permission. And God gave him specifics. Do this, but not that. So God, who arranges everything and controls all things, He can make a way of escape. You say, well, I didn't see the way of escape. Well, look for it next time, because it's there. You say, well, help me understand this way of escape, because when I'm tempted, I want to make sure I see it. Hey, it's there, folks. Say, how do you know it's there? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says so. But let me show you where it is. Let me show you where it is. The Bible says that God will specifically and on purpose ensure that every temptation has a way of escape built into the situation so that you do not have to give in. Isn't that good news? Hey, God's faithful. Does God lie? Okay, then every temptation has a built-in way of escape. You say, well, that's pretty sad because I've been sitting here doing the same sin over and over and over and over, and I know that is, that's real sad because God had a way of escape for you. God will not allow a situation to arise where you're unable to resist it by His power if you will obey His way. Now, if you're not going to obey His way, you might not find strength. You might see the whole way closed and you say, where's my way of escape? Well, you're not obeying His way. What then is His way? Or we might ask, what is the way of escape? The way of escape is given to you plainly in verse 14. It's the path that opens up early. That's the first way to escape, and that's the best. That's the one with the least amount of pain. Verse 14, wherefore? Wherefore? Since God gives you a way of escape, wherefore, my dearly beloved, what does He say? Flee from idolatry. There it is. What was the way to escape? Run as quick as you can from it before the temptation gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Should you mess with idolatry? Should you make provision for the flesh? What's the way of escape? Get it far from you before it becomes a snare. Get it far from you before it becomes a stronghold. Get away from it. You don't sit around and say, God is allowing me to be tempted above what I can bear. There is no hope. I will keep trying to endure it, but I'm getting weaker. You know what the way of escape is? Remove yourself. Remove yourself from the face of temptation as fast as you can. And then say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for opening up that path of escape. Thank you, God. The Bible says you can bear the temptation by escaping the temptation. How do we escape? You've got to take the way. There's a way that will open up and you'll hear God, at least in your conscience, saying, there it is right there. There it is right there. Run. Right now. Go. This is your way of escape. Take it. And you say, I'm not even going to tempt myself. I'm not even going to go through it. I'm not even going to go down that road. Folks, how did Joseph endure such a horrible temptation? His master's wife. I mean, doesn't she have some authority over him to some degree? He could have rationalized that. He's just doing what she said, right? He was in the house. And not only that, she caught him. She had a hold of him. How do you get out of a situation like that? She has a hold of him. He'd have to lose his garment. That's what people say. Well, if I got out of it like you're saying, it would cost me something. It cost me something. Say, I'm having trouble with the computer. Throw the stupid thing in the trash and get it out of your house. Oh, that's going to cost me something. Hey, God makes a way of escape. I need a psychologist or a counselor because I'm struggling with pornography. Okay, well, let me open the Bible and show you something here. Why don't you make not provision for the flesh and throw the stupid thing out the window? And if you can't bring it into your home in a way that's going to be safe for you and your family, get rid of the stinking thing. I can't do that. Well, okay. Well, then go continue playing games with God. But if you want to find God's way of escape, remove yourself from the temptation. Remove yourself. Amen. Quickly. How did Joseph escape after she caught him? He took off running as fast as he can and left his garment behind in her clutches. And he said, that was the way of escape. And he said, how did you get away from her? Maybe somebody said, she was good looking. She was gorgeous. How did you do that? She had authority over you. She had a hold of you. Where did you find the strength to do that? He said, I ran. I ran. And God made a way of escape. He could have said, this is no ordinary situation here. This is not a common situation. Certainly God's going to understand. She's, in one sense, my boss. Not only that, she has a hold of me. I mean, I can rationalize this thing. This is not an average adulterous situation. I am in a situation where I'm the victim here. I'm being preyed upon. This is a mess. You know, I didn't ask for this. Think of all the things he could have said. Oh, there's no situation taking you but such as is common to man. Joseph knew not to make excuses for it and act like it's some great thing that he can't get out of. Joseph said, there's one thing I can do. I can run. And he took off running fast, didn't he? Hey, you know what he did when he ran? Even though he was punished by man, his very punishment was a chariot to take him to the highest throne of the world. You see that? He remained faithful to God. He remained faithful to God. And God blessed him. You run, God will bless you. Amen. You take off running, God will bless you. Where's the way of escape? It's right here before you. It's called fleeing. Tear out of there. Leave behind whatever you have to. Don't look back. He saved his purity, didn't he? What if he had tried to reason with her? Proverbs 7, for the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. Where's the way of escape? Hey, that's right there is the way of escape, isn't it? Not taking that first step. That was the way of escape. But notice the way he goes. He went the way to her. Every sin has a way to bring you into its clutches. And every temptation has a way out. Do you see that? At that moment, he had to make a choice. Do I go the way to her house, or do I take God's way of escape from this whole situation? Where's the way of escape? It's early. It's early. It's right at the beginning. It's running right smack at the beginning of the temptation and not going any further. Hey, it's a lot easier to resist walking down that street than it will be having all her flattering words and catching you with her eyelids and all of that other stuff. It's a lot easier to escape out there at the road than it is inside the house, isn't it? In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, with her flattering of her lips she forced him, and her house is the way to hell. Where was the way of escape? Again, Church of God, where was the way of escape? Back before he ever even entered into her house. That's the best way, wasn't it? That's the best way. What's God's way of escape so you don't end up drunk with wine? Oh, I'm going down to the bar and I'm going to try not to get drunk tonight. I told God I'm not going to get drunk tonight. You know, I'm out here with my friends and we're all sitting at the bar and I'm going to try tonight not to get drunk. I told God I won't get drunk no more. Is that the way to escape? No, here's the way to escape. Proverbs 23, look not thou upon the wine.
Amen.
Look not thou upon the wine. You say, that's extreme. Well, Bible's extreme when you look at it by worldly standards, isn't it? At last it bites like a serpent, stings like an adder. Thy eyes shall behold strange women. Thy heart shall utter perverse things. How do you stay away from that whole thing? How do you endure such a thing? You don't go down the road to begin with. Don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. The way of escape was right there at the beginning. Don't even take the first look. That's it. Let me give you one last verse as we close. One last verse, I believe, sums up everything we're trying to say today. I believe it's a play on words in our King James Bible. You know, just like it says, he that hateth suretyship is sure. No, that's that English and that wonderful play on words. Let me show you something. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. First thing you see is you need to get around holy, strong people that know how to resist the very temptations you're weak in. I tell you what, you need to get around strong people. People that hate the very sin you're struggling with. Get around people that have overcome it or never touched it to begin with. Get around people that know how to endure the very sin you're struggling with. Get around them and stay around them and let them encourage you and lift you up and strengthen you. Amen? People that have been through it and overcome, get around them. People that struggled with what you went through, get around them. And believe them when they say, I went through what you're going through. Don't say, no, I'm special. You haven't been through anything I'm going through. No, get around people. Get around people that fear the Lord. But there's something else. Hold on. What is it? Flee. Run quickly. And what do you run from? Not just lusts. What does it say, folks? Please read it. What does it say? What type of lust do you run from here? Youthful lusts. This is what I call God's first way to escape. It's the best way to escape. It's the way that doesn't cost you as much. You might lose a garment off your back, but all it costs you is a garment. If you wait around to escape, it's going to cost you some blood. It's going to cost you some pain. You can still escape it by Jesus. You can still resist it. But striving against sin, once it's become a stronghold, is going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But with God, you can overcome it. But I'm telling you a better way. The better way is to never let it become a stronghold. The better way is to watch. And right there at the beginning, when you feel it, run while it's young. Run while the lust is little. Run while the lust is a child and hasn't grown to be this big monster. In other words, when you're first tempted at those first little thoughts, those first little curiosities, flee then. Run. Don't let them become adults. Don't let them grow up. I remember a simple illustration, just as basic and simple, but one time I hated the taste of coffee. It made me sick. I couldn't imagine being addicted to such a thing. But I got curious. And I wanted to taste it. I said, what do people really find in this stuff? And so I tasted it. And I went ahead and finished the cup. And I said, man, that stuff tastes terrible. I couldn't imagine being addicted to this. And all of a sudden, I found myself desiring another cup. And before you knew it, I had become a coffee addict. To where it has to be a certain brand. It can only sit on the pot so long. I had all these rules about it. I had to bring a coffee pot just in case you didn't have one at your house. Hey, I'd become bad, folks. I couldn't sit down and just be hospitable with anybody. Y'all don't have no coffee around here? I need coffee. How did it get me? I could have walked away from coffee anytime, but I flirted with it. I was curious. Now, you apply that to bigger temptations. It's the same thing. Don't get curious. Or right there at the beginning, when you're feeling that curiosity, when the lust is small, and it's still a little baby, you can step right on it, mortify it, and walk away. Amen? So that was easy. Well, why? Because it was a little baby lust. But you let that lust grow. You let it grow. Then you try to walk away. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. And of course, the devil will lie and say, it's impossible to get away. It's not impossible. That's just a lie from the devil. Now, the devil is a viper, isn't he? He's a serpent. And there's one thing about a serpent is when the serpent grabs you, and he begins to squeeze. When you take that first exhale, what does he do? He squeezes harder. And every time you blow out, he squeezes harder. And every time he squeezes, it becomes harder and harder and harder for you to escape. But hey, a lot of little rodents escape a snake. But they have to do it early, don't they? They have to get out quick, right there at the beginning. And I'm telling you, that's God's way of escape. That's the best way. Now, somebody might say, preacher, I believe that God is talking here in 2 Timothy 2. When he says youthful lust, he's not talking about baby lusts. He's talking about the lust you feel when you're a child. You know what? That's why I said it's a play on words. And I think both are true. And really, they end up in the same place. There's certain things that you're going to feel as a young person. They're just curiosities. And if you allow them to grow, if you don't learn to overcome them while you're a young man or a young woman, you know what happens? You grow up with habits ingrained in your life. When's the best time to break this thing? When you're young, right? Why don't you start right now being pure and holy? Why don't you start right now saying, I'm not even going to go down that road. So when I grow up, I will have trained my eyes, trained my heart to be pure. I'm going to start right now getting control of this thing. And then when I grow up, I won't have all of this baggage that I have to deal with as an adult. Amen? The same teaching is there. The whole point is you need to take God's way of escape. Take God's way of escape. And if you say, preacher, I've missed the early boat. I really did. This thing's become a stronghold. And I've been just about squeezed to death by this thing. And I'm paralyzed. I can't get loose. Hey, it's still not over. By the blood of Jesus, you can even break free right now. You say, will it hurt, preacher? Probably. Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But it's not going to be so bad that you can't endure it. And once it's over, you're going to say, you know what? That didn't really hurt as bad as I thought it was going to hurt. I mean, I was so afraid. And you know what? I got through it and I broke it. I broke that addiction. I broke that sin. I did it by the power of God. Amen. You can do it right now. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you break any addictions in this house right now. God, please, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you have these people search their lives, Lord, to see what addictions they've been tolerating, God. To see what they've been excusing because they think their situation is different, Holy God. I pray right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, that you cause these people right now to lay down their addiction and never look at it again, Father. To lay down any sin and never look at it again. And Lord, be with them during the pain, God. Be with them as they struggle. But Lord, I know in the name of Jesus that it will only be a short while. The affliction will only be a little while. And I know by your power, God, they can get through it. Give them a testimony, God, where they stand up and say, I laid it down. I did it by the power of God. I trusted God. He says that sin shall not have dominion over me. And I claimed His promise. And I laid down my sin. And I found God to be faithful. I found God not to be a liar. He empowered me. He was just waiting on my will. He said, come, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. That's what God wants. He wants you to take that step. Get up and walk. He said to the paralyzed man, come forth out of the tomb. He said to dead Lazarus. And He's telling you right now, a weak sinner struggling under the strongholds of Satan, He's telling you, come forth and break it by the power of God in the name of Jesus. God bless them, I pray. Be with the rest of our service today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.